Good morning. Christians who only define in terms of what happened on Sunday as the full extent of being a Christian, just determining, if you will, and defining their service to the Lord and just how often they come together to church, as it is said often, and very often also their idea of their entire relationship with God. One of the first things that may be said in defense of that would be, well, I come to church every Sunday, or every time the doors are open, I'm there. And, you know, I haven't missed the Lord's Day, and I don't know how long. Well, sometimes, you know, we need to stop and remind ourselves that the Lord requires daily sacrifices from us. Yes, to some it is a sacrifice to be able to assemble. I believe there was indeed some sacrifice made today by many who ventured out. It is, I believe, truly not as windy as it has been the last couple of days, certainly since Friday, and it's not quite as cold, but again, you know, it's very cold out there. But yet, we've had many who, throughout their lives, want to define the amount of time that they serve God and that the sacrifices they make have to do with, as in football terminology, the Sunday morning quarterback, the man or a woman who is such an avid fan of football that they can describe anything from their lazy boy and telling you what's going on at any given Sunday with a football game and what should have been done by the coach and who should have been playing and what type of play should have been called. But I want us to realize here that if we define our faith as Christians, we're really missing out on a lot if it's just solely confined to what we're doing each first day of the week. And I am not minimizing the first day of the week, okay? We just observed the supper of our Lord, the communion. The only authority we have is when we come together as a church in one place to do this, following what we see in the scriptures in Acts and what Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But let us consider seven areas that I believe you and I can continue to work toward in making that daily Christianity sacrifice that we make glorifying God and being exalted, if you will, in due time. Let us look, first of all, at the importance of daily prayer. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Often we don't even thank God for what we call the basic necessities. When was the last time in prayer someone thanked God for the house that they live in? The warm air that permeates this house that keeps us from freezing, okay? When is the last time we thank God for an automobile that it was able to bring us, transport us, to come to this place, to be able to be with those of like precious faith and worship God? We need to be really thinking about increasing our prayer life. Sacrifice, if you will, daily prayer. Paul says in the 1 Thessalonians letter, chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father." Now, this is very likely Paul's first letter that he wrote that we know that we have in the canon of Scripture. And he is saying that we give thanks to God always. For Paul, it wasn't something that once in a while he got around to. But Paul is encouraging the brethren here in Greece at Thessalonica that we need to thank God always. In this very same letter, in the 5th chapter, in the 17th verse, the Apostle Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." So let's make it a point, brothers and sisters, that daily, this day and moving forward, and this isn't a New Year's sermon, this isn't something we should be reflecting on, other than the fact that if we're negligent and we've been amiss in these areas, we can improve. And again, I want us to look at, as we move into these other six areas, this idea that daily sacrifices need to permeate our lives 24 hours a day, if you will, and much, much more away, if you will, from the assembly, from the meeting house. So we move into the second area of daily sacrifices. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 1, "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." which is your reasonable spiritual service of worship. Paul says here, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Can you imagine, if you will, we're laid on the altar of sacrifice, and before we can submit our life to give our life in sacrifice, we just jump off. We just crawl off. Okay? Can you imagine an animal fixing to be sacrificed in the Mosaic law, and that animal just jumps up and runs off? There goes the sacrifice. Now, I'm being a little facetious here, but think about it. Sometimes you and I don't even give ourselves a chance to be, if you will, a living sacrifice. We want to go ahead and just get out of there. We don't want to be a sacrifice at all. We don't want to be put through the challenges. Oh, such trauma, such pain, such difficulty I went through being sacrificed on the altar to serve the Lord. Is that our attitude? Is that our mentality? It needs to be a daily sacrifice. This is what Paul is admonishing us to do. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Some of us think that a sacrifice ends up dead. Paul says you're to be what? A sacrifice that's living and acceptable to God is this sacrifice that you and I have. And our Lord says, perhaps the greatest verse that would prepare one to look at what Paul says, Luke 9, verse 23, our Master says, if anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, elsewhere in Matthew, when this is mentioned, we have this idea about the cost of discipleship. Here's a cost factor that Luke mentions, and he mentions it only. Matthew doesn't talk about it in his context. It says here, to take up his cross daily. All right, there's the price to pay. This isn't a one-time thing. This isn't just a Sunday show. Paul says in Romans 12 that we're to be a living sacrifice, and here our Lord and Master says, daily we are to take up our cross, and you are to follow me. Some of us need to be mindful that our, if you will, daily Christianity involves daily sacrifices. Moving on, we see daily teaching of God's word. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, and day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here it says here that they were going ahead daily and meeting daily. That's a daily sacrifice. That's a daily opportunity to teach. Elsewhere in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, we see Dr. Luke writing, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. The apostles were busy. This is an example for you and I to emulate, to look at. There was no time off. They didn't just do it on the Lord's day. It says here, daily. And going back again to what the Master says in the 19th chapter of Luke, in the 47th verse, and he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him. I suspect if you and I confine our teaching, I suspect, brothers and sisters, if we just go ahead and confine our teaching to what goes on in this class this morning that Mark taught, and that you're looking at the whole sum of what God is wanting out of the teaching and preaching by what you hear from me in the next few minutes, just on Sunday, I really don't know about, I could be mistaken about this, but I don't think Satan's going to probably waste a lot of time trying to shut our mouths to try to destroy us. But you know what now? If you and I take seriously this idea that daily we are to be making the efforts to teach Jesus Christ, and that's something all of us can do. If you've been in the church for 6 months or if you've been in the church for 66 years, you ought to be taking advantage. I ought to be taking advantage of teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. So daily teaching is important. We've looked at daily prayer, and it's lacking. We've looked at daily sacrifices, and we are looking at daily teaching. It needs to be something that far surpasses and permeates this idea, you know, here I am Sunday morning. It's a special holiday today as the religious world looks at it. They look at it as a holy day. We, of course, look at it different, all right? We understand the significance of this day. In spiritual terms, there is no significance of it. Not, I'm talking about this holiday, all right? But as a Christian, this day, regardless of whether it's December 25th, 24th, 26th, or whatever, if it was July 4th, the first day of the week, the significance of it is this is the day the church comes together to worship. All right? We only have Bible authority for the taking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We only have Bible authority for the church to lay by and store and to take up a collection on the first day of the week. The preaching and teaching, the singing, the prayer, the encouraging and admonishing one another needs to, of course, take place on the Lord's Day, but can take place any day. And it needs to be done, and it needs to, again, get in our minds, brothers and sisters, to get out of the building and do it in your home, in your community, all right, wherever. Moving on, we see the importance, and this kind of goes hand in hand with the teaching, is daily Bible study. Daily Bible study. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And this breaking of bread in Acts chapter 2, I surely believe in the context, it's talking about the Lord's Supper, not taking meals in a social gathering from house to house. An important thing, not part of the worship of the church, but an important thing to open our homes, our hearts, and to practice hospitality. Again, who would you rather be with when you had an opportunity? The world, those that are an influence for bad, those who may end up trying to kill you when you are doing the Lord's will, if you will, getting a little exaggerated here again. But here it says that they were devoting themselves daily to teaching. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, now these were more noble, talking about those Bereans. They were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word of God with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. You know what? It didn't bother Paul that they were examining the things that he said with Old Testament scripture, and that's what they were looking at here. They were looking at Old Testament scripture here. Examining and listening to the things that were being said by Paul. Well, can't you just take my word for it? Well, don't you know who I am? I'm Paul the Apostle. I'm the man. You're questioning what I'm saying? You're consulting the Torah? You're looking at the old law? You're going back to the synagogue and pulling the manuscripts out to examine the things I've been telling you about Isaiah, about Daniel, from Moses, the Psalms that David wrote? You don't take my word for it? No, they didn't take Paul's word for it. They examined the things, and that is a sign of nobility, if you will. That is a noble mind. That's to be commended. When you're studying the Bible with people, brothers and sisters, encourage those you're studying with, open their Bible and let them read. If you're guiding the class and you're sharing scripture with them, have them read it. Don't just read yourself, or don't tell them what Jesus is saying. Show them and have them read and tell you, tell themselves what Jesus and other inspired writers, of course, are saying. So daily Bible study is important. In the 17th verse, just drop down in this same chapter to the 17th verse. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. You know, those in our lives that may happen to be present, in order for this to happen, you and I need to take the opportunity to be willing to teach people. So it is a daily commitment. Being a Christian in sacrifice, in teaching, in Bible study, in prayer, it's a daily thing. Or again, I bring this up as I have two or three times in the last 15 minutes, is our sum total of what we're looking at as a Christian devoted just to the Lord's Day? I think not, if we're to please God. Moving into the other area I want us to look at is daily encouraging, something that needs to be done in all local churches of Christ. Something that needs to be done is encouraging one another. The Hebrew writer in chapter 3, verse 13, but encourage one another. Chapter 3, verse 13, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I'll tell you something, I like to be encouraged daily. I like to have my spirits lifted by encouraging words, by words that admonish and encourage me to better serve the Lord, to move forward, to forget what's in the past, to press on like Paul teaches us, we're seeing in Philippians and we'll continue to see in the upcoming weeks, Lord willing. It's encouraging, and you and I have a responsibility to you, and I have a responsibility to you to encourage and build you up. You have a responsibility to me. Listen, brothers and sisters, there's enough tearing down. There's enough breaking down going on. Now, I believe in a biblical sense there can be a justification for tearing down and bringing down to rebuild. But here in this context, it's showing us the importance of encouraging one another daily as long as it's called today. You know, Lonnie, you ought to try to encourage your brother and more. I'll get around to it later this week. That may never happen. The day may never come. I may not live to see it. They may not live to be able to be the receiver of encouragement from me. I need to be encouraging daily. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, as was read by Brother Jim, for he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't worry about next Lord's Day. Don't be concerned about next Lord's Day. In the immediate context, I'm saying it's now, and right now, that's where our focus should be, right, friends? Of course it should be. In Acts 16:5, Dr. Luke says, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. You ever look at this verse? You ever look at this verse? The church was being strengthened in the faith, all right? And it was increasing in number daily. We see two things happening here. Edification is taking place. That's what's saying here. This strengthened in the faith, that's the work of edification. And then the last part of that verse, and that they were increasing in number daily, that's the evangelism. That's the preaching and teaching being done. So in this one verse, Luke is showing us how this church, hey, the local churches are growing here in the area. Moving on, daily meditation. Daily meditation. Psalms 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 19:14, David writes, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 119:97, David says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, meditation is important, and I'm not too sure everyone knows how to meditate. Sometimes we mix up, if you will, the meditation perspective versus thinking about something. Now, when you're meditating, you certainly are thinking. But I think you can be thinking and not be meditating. What I mean by this is we need to have a disciplined mind. There needs to be time as we set aside in prayer and solitude and quiet. There should be time, and perhaps it is during this same period of time that we set aside for prayer, that we need to be meditating, we need to be thinking. And I believe that you and I are able to defend the faith. I believe you and I are able to stand up and teach God's word, and we are able to recognize error and to refute it by the idea that we are a meditating people. It is important to have scripture on your mind and my mind much more again than Sunday. Oh, honey, I've listened to everything. I'm taking notes. I can tell you everything you've said, Lonnie. Lonnie, I remember Mark's class. I remember the sermon. Blah, 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 blah. Meditate. Think about those things. Do you take the notes, if you will? Do you record? Do you highlight scripture? Do you go home? Do you think about what has been said? Do you build upon the lesson? Do you look and say, how is this going to be personal to me? How can I make application? You know, one of the responsibilities of someone teaching and preaching God's word is that we help others, and I believe it's probably one of the most important parts of a sermon at the end of a sermon being preached is the application principle. What have I learned sitting in the audience listening to this man? What is my intention here conveying to you all here in the audience seated before me? Am I glorifying God by what I'm doing to encourage us and admonish us to live, to apply the scripture? Meditation helps you and I to do this. I often go back, and how often do we say things like, oh, I wish I would have remembered to say this. Whoa, why didn't I think of this earlier? This happens daily in a million different areas. But you know what? If you really take notes and you go home and you meditate on maybe what you've heard preached and taught, you can come up with so much more substance than you ever heard in that 20 to 45 minute lesson. Sure you can. Meditation is important. It's something that needs to be done daily. We can focus. Our minds can be like a laser beam and focus on what's going on with the big football game. Focus on the plans that maybe mom is making for a big get-together for the family on a holiday. How many of us can really focus on spiritual things? And again, away from the meeting house, daily. Okay, daily. If anything, if you're taking notes, make sure at the top of your lesson you've got daily Christianity. All right? This is not a lesson on the first day of the week, Christianity. This is a daily Christianity lesson. And finally, in conclusion, really the sum total of all we've looked at is daily living. Daily living. If we can do these daily exercises, it will produce a healthy heart. Doing these things each day will keep your vision clear and focused. It will add depth and growth to your soul and mind, brothers and sisters. It will keep you and me out of trouble by what? Being busy doing good. I'll tell you right now, if you and I would just, if you will, shift into a higher gear and be more busier doing the Lord's work, we would be getting in less trouble, if you will, if any trouble at all. What I mean by that is, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. I'm not sure if that was a Ben Franklin saying or who it was, but you know, there's so much truth to that. If you and I are busy doing God's work, if we're meditating, if we're studying, we're teaching, we're praying, we're sacrificing, we're encouraging, we'll stay out of trouble. We'll stay out of trouble serving the Lord. And by doing all of these things, it will keep you and I close to Jesus. Close to Jesus. Hand in hand with him. Arm in arm. Following him in his footsteps. This is what we need to be looking at. This type of intimate relationship. Don't be a Sunday-only Christian. What are you doing today? What are your plans of mind for tomorrow? Tomorrow may never come. But you and I are not getting cocky and arrogant if you and I are sitting down through the day planning on what we would like to do to serve the Master tomorrow and next Sunday and a week after. That's not the overconfidence and arrogance that one violates James' scripture about, you know, our life is but a vapor. Don't get so wrapped up in what may happen in 15 minutes or tomorrow because you may not live to see it. There's nothing wrong with you and I having a plan. God's people need a vision. You and I need to be planning. We need to be planning for tomorrow, what we can do to serve him. We need to be looking at other things as we go into the new year. If this world is around and we are living to see it, it begins here in 1 week. We go into a new year. What are our goals? Do we have to have a New Year's Day sermon? Do we have to have a New Year's list of things to do? Do we have to continue? And Lord willing, if the opportunity comes, I have some things I want to share out of the very class letter that Mark's teaching. Forgetting what's behind me, pressing on. That's a good title for a New Year's lesson, but don't wait till next Sunday to make the changes. Don't wait till then. Don't wait till you get out the door here in the next 15 minutes. Make them now. Daily service to the Lord. If you're a Christian now, and maybe in your life right now, you've not been practicing those daily steps, those daily responsibilities. Perhaps there's something in your life now that you would benefit from to have brethren pray for your spirit on your behalf. Share those burdens. Sometimes we have this idea that a song of invitation is for the dirty, rotten sinner to come forward and to just lay it all out. For a Christian to just come forward asking for prayers, to share a burden, a heartache, they're overwhelmed. There may be no sin in their life. It's an opportunity to, and we certainly don't need an invitation, opportunity to do the very things the scriptures command us to be doing again, by the way, away, not just on the first day of the week. That's fellowship, spiritual fellowship, needing one another. And if we're busy about encouraging one another, we'll be walking in the light with the Lord, and our brethren will feel more comfortable coming and talking to us. And perhaps there is something in our lives that we do need the prayers of the church for. This opportunity is given to you. And if you're not a Christian, you stand outside. You stand outside and you're really, if you will, they talk the old saying, out of the box. You need to think out of the box. Let me tell you something right now. When it comes to being lost in sin, you are out of the box. You are an outsider looking in. What is keeping you, if you will, from coming in? Jesus is that great door. He stands. He says, if you knock, I shall open. This opportunity is given to you. If you've not put on your Lord in baptism, if you stand and you're in your sins and you have yet to repent, be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of the living God before witnesses and to be immersed in the watery grave, to have your sins washed away, to be raised to walk in newness of life. This is an act of mercy and grace that God will give mankind until his Son comes again. It'll be too late at that point. If you're subject to that invitation, not mine, but the Lord's, you have an opportunity by coming forward while we stand and sing the song John selected.